Okay, on page lamed tes, oisir ches. That we're going to get to soon. That we're going to hand out soon. Okay, so let's see. Okay, so Shaltiel says page lamed tes, oisir ches. Yeah, does that add up? That makes sense.
Yeah.
Page lamed tes, the top left hand corner says lamed tes. Okay, so Shaltiel oisir ches. Shaltiel asks, Nitzachtani b'dvarecha al masha yisi matil dofi b'kabbalah. Ba'avur ha-machlokes ha-nimtza ben ha-achronim. Okay, we left off last time. One of the big questions that was bothering Shaltiel was, you know, how are you supposed to learn Kabbalah? There's so many different approaches, so many different schools of thought. So our first response was, ki'ilu what? As if in halacha there's not a machlokes. In halacha we don't have different opinions than halacha. There's different opinions. But eventually halacha also takes form. In other words, you have the riff, and you have the Rosh, and you have the Rambam, and then you make a Shulchan Aruch. Does that mean everything the Shulchan Aruch says is accepted by everyone in the world? No, that's why you have a Ramah. And then you have a Magen Avraham, and you have a Taz. But there's a funneling of, and there's a refining of systems. And the same thing is true, as we learned last time in Kabbalah. The Ramak, the Arizal, eventually there's like a Psak Halacha in Kabbalah also. So the notion that there's just too many different Mahalachim, too many different approaches, there's no Seder to it, it's simply not true. So he says, okay, so you've won me over in terms of my challenge that there's too much machlokas in Kabbalah to try to learn it. Ki amasha amarta nediskara daiti mod. What you told me has set my mind at ease. But here's what I really want to ask. And here's the real question. And this really moves us so much beyond. Again, I didn't pick this sefer to learn together because you know we're ready for an introduction to Kabbalah. We are ready for an introduction to Chassidus. Right? And this paragraph, I think, is Mamish going to hit the nail on the head in terms of the question. How do I look at the Torah? I personally fell in love with Chassidus when I started to realize the Torah is saying so much more than I had ever known was there. I still didn't know it was there. I was actually talking to Rav Davidel about a piece from Rav Shimshon Pinkus that I shared once, and he said he's been using it a lot. Rav Pinkus in the Tiferes Torah in Parshas Bishalach says that when Rashi says, right, sometimes Rashi in his commentary on Chumash says, I don't know. So the question is, how does that help us? What does it do if Rashi says, I don't know? So Rav Pinkus gives a mashal. He says, imagine a person, right, imagine, you ever see those people, you know, walking on the beach with like a metal detector looking for buried treasure, right? So imagine you're walking on the beach, you know, and you've got one of these metal detectors, and all of a sudden the thing starts beeping. Started beeping wildly. You found something good. So someone comes running over you, and you're all excited. So your friend comes over, he says, well, what's going on here? You're like, I don't know. So your friend's like, well, I also don't know. Now what's the difference between the two I don't knows? So one I don't know is, I don't know what's going on here. The friend has no idea what's going on. The guy with the metal detector says, I don't know what I just found, but I know I found something. I know something good is buried here. So when Rashi says, I don't know, what's Rashi saying? Rashi says, I can't, I'm not sure exactly what Hashem is saying, but I'm telling you Hashem's saying something good. What's Rashi writing? Rashi says, I'm telling you, I found the treasure. I don't know how to extract it from, you know, from the earth of the Torah, but I know there's something good here. So when you learn Sifrei Chassidus, all of a sudden you start to find out, and again, Kabbalah also, of course, right, you start to find out that every pasuk or every letter, every concept, and it's not just in Chumash, we're going to talk specifically about Chumash, but in Shas also. Every halacha is being megala sodos also. There's halacha, but it's also being megala sodos. So this bothers people terribly.
There's an happy meaning, because I want that in Shas.
Yeah.
When Rashi says, I don't know, is that a perish on the pasuk?
Oh, it's Rishayim Mikra.
Rishayim Mikra, yes. Rishayim
Mikra, yes. Rishayim Mikra, yes. Rishayim Mikra, yes. Right, that's a great question, right? When you're learning, right, you have to learn the Rashi is, I don't know. So the answer is yes, because Rashi's telling you, I don't know, but you should be thinking about what's right, what's hidden here. That's great. That's a great way to say it. Just remember to add that. Okay, Achein ha'emes agid lecha, but here's what's bothering me. Ki lo nocha daiti klal bedarchi mikubalim. I have a number of questions in the Kabbalah that are really bothering me, and I'm going to present them before you. Maybe you'll be able to help me out. Rishona, first and foremost, Hem omrim shekol divrei Torah v'sipurei hamaisim shenichtivu ba yesh bahem sodos gedolos. They claim that every word of the Torah is a secret. V'zeh nirah she'eino emes. So says Shaltiel, who says it's a secret? Why do you have to make everything into secrets? V'yaspik lahem shenod l'divrayim b'masha omrim sheyesh sodos v'tamim l'mitzvos. You want to tell me that the mitzvos have different levels of understanding, different explanations and secrets? Fine. Aval b'sipurim u'maisim, but the simple historical stories of the Torah, shebo b'Torah, lo nehira klal shia behem sod kambus v'nistar. Who says that there's some big secret hiding in the Torah? Kim pshutan shal dvarim levad. When it tells you what happened with Yaakov and Lavan, it's telling you what happened with Yaakov and Lavan. Why do you have to say they're secrets? Who says they're secrets? Okay. So he says, and again, there's a part of you that wants to just jump out of your chair and say, well, how could, right? I mean, there's like this visceral reaction. V'chi ata sovur, so it says Yehoyada and Osi Yotes. V'chi ata sovur shenichtivu b'Torah, sipurei ma'isim shalol etzarech. We forget sometimes, and it's so, it's like silly we have to even say this, but we forget the Torah is written by Hashem. The same Hashem that's causing our heart to beat right now, the same Hashem who's making our eyes function, the same Hashem that's being mashgiach b'prate pratus on 8 billion people on planet Earth right now, in addition to every fish and plant and animal. The Hashem who's responsible for every star in the sky, misader es kochavim, like we just said, some of us in Maariv, misader es kochavim, every star is precisely in its place. So that Hashem is, yeah, he wrote every letter of the Torah. He dictated every letter of the Torah with precision. You think the stories of the Torah are just stories? This is just like any other old history book. Recollection of what was? Chalila laham in v'davar azeh. Just pause for a second. It's chas v'shalom to believe such a thing. This was the mistake of Menashe. That he sat around poking fun at the stories of the Torah. Literally asking this question. Oh, look at these ridiculous psukim. What could this possibly teach us? Not understanding that every person mentioned in the Torah, every place mentioned in the Torah, the 42 masos are connected to the Shem Mem Beis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every place, every person, every detail of the Torah is revealing something. Menashe ben Chizkiya, it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Did Moshe have nothing else to write in the Torah other than to tell us that the sister of Lotan was Timna? Or like the Pasuk says, V'timna haisa pilegesh. Now the bottom line is just cut off, so just listen for a second. Right? V'timna haisa pilegesh la'alifas. Moshe had nothing else to write other than to tell us that Alifas, the son of Esav, married a girl named Timna. Or that Reuven went out and he found some flowers in the field. This is what Menashe in Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi Tes Amud Beis sat around mocking, pointing at Pesukim like, this Pesuk's ridiculous, this doesn't teach us anything. This Pesuk's ridiculous, why do I need to know that detail? So is that who we want to be? That's what we want to become. V'lo od el sha'af im toida. Okay, top of the next page. And even if one will admit, sheha ma'isim shenichtivu b'Torah, and if you'll say, well, you know, the Torah is not nothing. The Torah is still teaching us nice moral lessons. V'tochachos or musarim, right? If you'll tell us, so it's not just a history book. These are history lessons with valuable life lessons. That's what you want to say the Torah is. K'dvatzino l'chazal. Chazal themselves. Ha'iru behem al pi pshutan. You're right. Of course, the pshat teaches us, yes, there's a lot of lessons that are lying right there on the surface. But that's all the Torah is to you. It's just another self-help book that you could buy at, you know, order on Amazon. I was going to name a bookstore, but do people the other bookstores now? Do people go to like a bookstore? Is that a thing? Barnes & Noble still exists, yeah? I was going to say Barnes & Noble. Okay, good. I'm happy to know that still exists. All right, so is this just like in the self-help section of, you know, just like, you know, new age ideas? Or old age ideas. Hinayim kein lo tete torasenu akadoshu miklal shar sifrei divrei avim. So then Torah is just another history book. It's just another interesting chronicles of time. Ki alo gam heim lo leto sfarum. Right? Those books are also, they're valuable. Lessons to be learned. El leto eles azhar vanhaga olimareitza. Is that what you want to say to the Torah? That's the whole thing. It's advice. It's nice life lessons. Al va'emes hu b'li shum safik. God forbid to say such a thing. Yes, of course, there's a certain basic hanhaga, a certain basic musar lesson that one can derive from reading the Torah in the most superficial of ways. The Torah is certainly as good as, I don't know, anything else, any other system of living, of recommended advice for life. But od yichuyav heyos behem uvesipuram tachlis atzum. But there's such a deeper, more profound purpose to all of it. Lirmos sodus gedolos. This is a Kadosh Baruch Hu writing himself down. That's what Torah is. It's a Shem in written form. So you're going to limit it. You're going to say it's just this and not that. V'inyanei kol hachachmos hamitios. The Torah contains all of the wisdom of the world, all truth, all true wisdom is contained within it. Ki Torasenu hakadosha liyosa Torah Hashem. V'dibur Elokim. By the way, this is Chanukah. The whole fight of Chanukah is, do I believe in a Chachma Elokis? Right? And is it categorically different than the greatest wisdom of human beings? That's what this is. It's Torah Hashem. Baruch Atah Hashem, Nosein HaTorah. Not just Nosan HaTorah, Nosein HaTorah. Hashem gave himself to us with the Torah. It's a Dibur Elokim. It's a godly directives. Kula miroshavat sofa, every letter from beginning to end. Muchach sheyimtzu ba kol hashlemios keteva hadavar eloki. And therefore it has to be perfect as per the nature of something which is divine. If did God write the book or not? Are there extra letters? Are there extra words? Are there extra phrases? V'lachin kara David HaMelech, Torah Hashem Tumima. Hashem's Torah is not just wholesome, Hashem's Torah is perfect. Ki hishlema bilti chisaron. It contains everything within it. All the secrets of creation, all knowledge you could possibly want to know, it's all contained within the Torah. In the Medrash, the king brought me into his inner chambers. What are these inner chambers? Elu chadrei Torah. This refers to the chambers of Torah. V'yagid lachem esbriso, pasuk at the end of Parshas Devarim, zeh sefer bereishis, shitchilas briyaso shel olam. Hashem revealed to us not just the bris, but Hashem revealed the brios, the creation, right? The briso sholom and the brioso sholom. Asher tziva aschem la'asos aseres hadvarim elu aseres hadibros. All of these things are an invitation into what? Into the innermost chambers of the king. V'chi minayin yavo Eliyahu ben Brachi al habuzi v'yigal lehem chedrei behemos v'chedrei levyasan. How did Eliyahu ben Brachi al habuzi, one of the friends of Eov, how did he know how to expound on the inner workings of the behemoth and the Leviathan? And how did the Navi Yechezkel, how did he reveal the Chedre Merkava, the secrets of the divine chariot? How did they know all these things? You know how they knew all the deep secrets of creation of the world, this world and the next? They learned it all from the Torah. They went to the innermost chamber of the king's chambers. Kol Nilmad Me'atara. Everything is learned from the Torah. And he quotes now the Ramban's Hakdama to Bereishis, Hakdama to Chumash. The Ramban again speaks about how everything's in the Torah. We have to know that. We have to know there's nothing. The only reason that we have to go to medical school if we want to become a doctor is because we don't know how to find, we don't know how to extract from the Torah. But if you've ever seen the Chazon Ish's picture where he drew how to perform the brain surgery, how did he know that? He didn't go to medical school. Ever see the picture? Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish was a surgeon in Eretz Yisrael, a neurosurgeon. He consulted the Chazon Ish on many areas of halacha and shailas. The Chazon Ish once heard about a procedure he was going to perform. The Chazon Ish sat down, drew out a picture of the brain, said, do like this, do like this. If you do the other way, the guy's going to be dead in 24 hours. Don't operate the way you're going to operate. Obviously, the doctor thought about it. He said, it makes sense what the Chazon Ish is saying. Performed the procedure as the Chazon Ish had suggested, and he realized that had he done the other way, he probably would have killed the guy. Where had the Chazon Ish know that? Where did he get his degree from? Maseches Chulin. I don't know, where did he get his degree from? So it's all in the Torah. That doesn't mean that we can always access it from the Torah. So I wanted to be a doctor, I'd probably have to go to medical school, right? Because I don't know, I'm not a big enough person to find it in the Torah. But leika midi delora miza baraisa, like it says in Tanis. There's nothing that's not hinted to in the Torah. You just have to know how to find it. So kvar herich al zeh haramban. The Ramban is akdama to the perash on Torah. Vizel ishono. Here's what the Ramban writes. Im kein kol hanemar b'nevua mimaisa merkava maisa vereishas. V'amakuvo behem l'chachamim. These next words, I looked it up in the Ramban's akdama. It's actually the other way around. Im toledes arba kochos shebetachtonim. Everything of maisa merkava. Everything of creation. All of the details of the four kochos of which the world is made up of. Koach ha-mechzavim, v'koach tzimchi ha-adama, v'nefesh ha-tenua, v'nefesh ha-medaberes, from inanimate objects, like minerals, to plant life, to nefesh ha-tenua, to movement, animal life, to nefesh ha-medaberes, to people who could speak and reason. B'kulam namer l'moshe rabbeinu bri'asam, v'kochosam, u'mahusam, u'ma'aseyam. Moshe knew every detail of it. Moshe knew all the secrets of every blade of grass. Chazon Ish also said, he said, there's enough wisdom in a single flower that you could spend your whole life studying a flower. Hashem put enough wisdom that it wouldn't be bittel zman to spend your whole life staring at a flower, trying to understand the niflos habori. And Moshe knew it. Moshe knew the secrets of rocks and plants and animals and people. And he understood every detail of all of it. And all of it is written in the Torah, either explicitly or implicitly, hinted to. There are 50 gates of wisdom in the world. And all of them were given to Moshe Rabbeinu minus one. But Moshe Rabbeinu, as much as one could possibly understand everything, he understood everything. Top of the next page. Moshe Rabbeinu knew how to read the letters forwards and backwards. He knew how to do the gematrios. He knew how to do everything. And even in the points, even in the kaitzim, on top of the letters, the crowns on top of the letters. He quotes here in the third line, the Gemara Menachos, Daf Chavtes. When Moshe Rabbeinu saw the base medrash of Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva is darshaning the crowns on top of the letters, and Moshe Rabbeinu is like, what is this stuff? And Hashem says, this Rabbi Akiva is going to take the Torah even deeper than you went. Rabbi Akiva maybe even made it to Tashar Hanun. Moshe Rabbeinu made it to level 49. Rabbi Akiva maybe made it to level 50. And Moshe Rabbeinu is all depressed, and then he's told, don't worry, he hears in the base medrash, halach l'moshe v'sinai, okay, I guess I'm still important in the world. So mamish, it's all there. It's mamish all there. Let's go to the middle paragraph, and you'll see why I'm rushing, because I want to get to something on this middle paragraph. Sof davar, here's the bottom line, Shaltiel. Says Yehoyada, here's the bottom line. Leika midi mikol mashakilu chazal kolo ramiza ba'oraisa. You have to understand, right? As little as the Torah says about the 39 malachos, it's all in the Torah. All the Masechet Shabbos is in the Torah. All the chazal ever said is already alluded to in the Torah. If we knew how to read Torah Shebichsav deeper, we wouldn't need a Masechah Shabbos. Not only would we not need a Masechah Shabbos, but people who are learning Daf Yomi recently came across a Gemara in Nedarim that says, if not for certain behaviors, Hashem would have given us the five books of Moshe and Sefer Yoshua, and that's it. And that would have been sufficient. We would figure out the rest. Because of our lowliness, so Hashem has to talk things out a little bit more. We need the Nevi'im to talk things out. We need a shas to explain to us, because I don't know how to extract everything. And I'm talking about extracting even with the yudgul midos shatorin and dreshes pen. Forget about deeper and deeper and deeper. Hein beyer hadinim v'hamitzvos. Every sif katan and mishnah brura. It's merum is in the Torah itself. Hein sodos ma'isa bereishis u'ma'isa merkava. The secrets of creation. The secrets of the most kabbalistic, deepest visions that the Nevi'im experienced. Hakol nichtaba b'feirish o b'ramiza. The Vilna Gaon spent the last 10 years of his life doing? Just trying to read all of Torah Shebaal Peh back into Torah Shebichsav. That's all he wanted to do. He wanted to just show how everything is. So you ever see the Gros commentary on Pirkei Avos? You know what he does? He shows you how every Hillel and Shammai and Levitas Ish Yavneh and everyone else how every Maimur Chazal in Pirkei Avos is really just a pasuk in Chumash. I wouldn't have seen that. I would have thought that, I would have thought that Antignos Ish Socha would have thought of it. The girl's like, no, this is just a pasuk in Chumash. Connects everything back to the Shoresh. Right? And that's what the Chum did. They found asmachtos, they found hints to their words to explain how everything is in the Torah. V'zeh bein b'chelek ha-dinim u'bein b'chelek ha-agados. Mishum da'kol ramuz v'kol v'torah. Whether it's a garata, whether it's a din, it's all found already within that tiny little sefer called Torah Shevach Saf. V'hainu d'taninan ha-foch ba d'kula ba. Turn it over and turn it over because everything is in it. I just remembered now. Rabbi Alan Schwartz, anyone taking Rabbi Schwartz? I was taking Bible with Rabbi Alan Schwartz. Is he still teaching? I think so. He's a gon. He's an absolute genius. But more than his Torah scholarship, he's an incredible Baal Midos. An amazing person. You should take one of his classes. So Rabbi Schwartz once told me, he said that it used to be the Medrash, he told me this from Rav David Zvi Hoffman, who was one of the great German Torah commentators. So David Zvi Hoffman said, a couple hundred years ago, he said that the Medrash says that we should start off teaching children Chumash Vayikra. Heard this idea before, right? Kids are supposed to start learning Vayikra. Why? Because Vayikra is the book of purity, of karbanos, of holiness. V'yavo tahorim v'yasok v'tara. Let the pure ones, let a pure innocent child, little kid who's going to cheder, right, let's start him off with Chumash Vayikra because he's so pure and he should learn about the sections of Kohanim and purity and Karbanos and Beis HaMikdash v'chulo. It's not the easiest thing to learn. So I'm sure there's some Chadarim that actually learn Vayikra. I'm sure there's others that probably read like the first Pasuk of Vayikra and then go back to Bereishis or Noah, wherever they can, you know. But if that's true, so there's an idea that maybe in Torah Shebaal Peh, the same thing is also true. So think about it. That means one could say that Shas starts not with Zeraim, but with Kachim. So that means the order of Shas is Kachim, Taros, Zeraim, Moed, Nashim, Nezikin. Nezikin's the last Seder of Shas, if you go in that order. And the end of Nezikin, one could say, is Pirkei Avos. And the end of Pirkei Avos is the Mishnah we just read, Hafoch ba vafoch ba dekula ba. In other words, what are we saying? When you get to the last Mishnah of Shas, what's the lesson? And do it again. There's so much more to find. You didn't find anything yet. Right? Lo yadati. I know something's here. I'm going back to our mashal, the metal detector. I know something's buried in the earth here. Right? The closing message of Shas is after all that you've learned, if you've learned anything, you realize that I don't know anything. And I go back to the beginning. Kihi takif hakol. It encompasses everything. It contains everything. Lotechser kol ba mehadinim vahadeos vachachmos amitios. Everything is in it. Now, here's the quote from the Zohar that I want to share with you, and a very, very important. The Zohar in Parshas Baaloscha, several passages in the Zohar, says the following: Zakoin idon Yisrael, the Isyav luhu oraisi la. How fortunate are you, Jewish people? The Isyahiv, that we were given a what? An oraisa ilah, a lofty Torah, a heavenly Torah. A divine document. Oraisa dikshot. An oraisa, a Torah that is kshot. What does kshot mean? True. A truthful Torah. Truthful Torah. Umanda amar, and the one who says, God forbid, dahu sipur doraisa, lachza alahu sipur bilvad kasi. If you look at a sipur, a story in the Torah, and you say it's only for the sake of the story, it's a story and nothing more, says the Zohar, tipach ruchei, his bones should rot, his spirit should be upended. God forbid, you missed the point of everything. You blew the whole thing. If you think it's nothing other than just a bunch of stories, then you've missed everything. Okay? So let's pause here, and let's learn a piece. We can just pass this around. From the Majid Sarebi, the Divrei Yisrael, in Parshas Mishpatim, where he references these Zohars, these passages in the Zohar, in Baaloscha that he cites here. And Daf Kuf Mem Tesam and Beis, and Kuf Mem Beis and Aleph in the Zohar. Okay? Says the Divrei Yisrael of Majid. We're going to start in the bottom right-hand corner on page Tuf Tes. Okay, I'll call Devar Pesha. I'll call Devar Pesha. Okay, let me just read you the full pasuk so you get the full experience. Parshas Mishpatim. Why is that a good place to bring out this lesson? Because Mishpatim is very technical, right? It's very halachic. It's bava kama. It's bava metzia. Okay, here's what it says in the pasuk. Al kol devar pesha al shur al chamur al se al salma al kol aveda asher yomar kihuze ad ha Elohim yavo devar shneim asher yarshiun Elohim yishalim shneim lereyu. Article translation: for every item of liability, al kol devar pesha, for every item of liability, whether an ox, a donkey, a sheep, or a garment, regarding any lost item at which he says this is it, to the court shall come both their claims. Whoever the court finds guilty shall pay double to his fellow. Okay? All right. Can't make a move in Parshas Mishpatim without Rashi. And Rashi is basically just all bava kama and bava metzia. Right? Okay. But now, look what he says here. Yesh lomar. He says, Al pi divrei adoni avi zakeni zatzal. I think he's quoting his grandfather, Yecheskel of Kushmir. This is the Divrei Yisrael of Majlis, the first Majlis of Rebbe. So here's what he says. He says, we can explain based on what I heard from my grandfather. And that is, we say in the davening of Rosh Hashanah, Uvesorascha kasuv lemor, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Right? In the psukim of Malchios, when it's going through different psukim to express the Malchus of Hashem, right? And it quotes psukim from Tanakh, and then it ends with one more pasuk, right? Course, 10 pasuk. It ends with another pasuk of Torah. Uvisorascha ksuv lemor, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So here's how my grandfather, Ba'ofen Chasidi, learned that line from the Malchus of Rosh Hashanah. Okay? Now I apologize. Again, the printout's a little bit cut off, so just listen for a second. Perish. Uvisorascha ksuv lemor. The Torah says, what does the Torah say? The Torah says lots of things. The Torah says, Halachos v'dinim shonim, kamo shnayim ochsim betalis, shor shenaga chesapara. The Torah says lots of things, right? I'll call devar pesha, every item of liability, whether an ox, a donkey, a sheep, a garment, okay? About all of these things, about dine migo, about all of these things, top of the left column, v'kayotze, and the like, about all of these things, you know what Hashem is really saying? Uvesarascha kosov lemor, of all the things the Torah is saying, you know what Hashem is really whispering? Shema Yisrael. Jewish people, please listen more deeply and understand Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Please understand these are not different topics. These are not different halachos. These are not different stories. Aval Shema Yisrael min halimud hazeh. Listen carefully, whether it's Shnayim Ochzim Betalis or Shor Shnaga Chesapara. Whatever it is that you're learning, listen deeply to understand Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Realize it's all one thing. That's all the Torah is really saying to you. V'zeh shenim shalah Torah ledad. And that's why we find the Torah is compared to a breast, to a nursing mother. K'mo shenemar dadeha yiravucha. Just like the mother supplies milk for her child, her dadeha, her breasts are yiravucha, are mashpia, they're sustaining. So what does the Gemara say in Eiravin? Hainu. K'mo hadad hu hakli. Shal yado Moshe chachalav min hamakor. Right? The dad, the woman's breast, serves as the kli from which what? The milk is extracted from deep within her. Vahatinok hatipesh. So what does the kid think? What does the baby think? Right? The little nursing baby, when he's suckling from his mother, what does he think? Vahatinok hatipesh. Shesover shadad hu hamafarnes. The little baby thinks that what? He doesn't even, at a point, the child doesn't yet recognize the mother even. It just sees this kli, this vessel, this woman's breast that it thinks is, oh, this is what sustains me. Not recognizing that there's a person behind it, there's a mother behind it, there's the love of the mother behind it. Ve'eno moshech rach noshech v'lois asadad. The child doesn't even realize. Right? Sometimes the child's it's biting and hurting the mother almost, not even realizing. Hine osa chabura b'hadad. Right? It latches on, and sometimes it's painful for the mother. Umotetz dam v'lo chalav kamuvan. The child is like almost like fighting with this vessel as if like, you know, kamo kein hu b'limud haTorah. The same thing is true when it comes to what? When it comes to limud haTorah. Do we understand what's behind, right? What's behind the sugya? Are we hearing the Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? V'zeha inyan asher ha-gemara nemar b'lashon tashma u'v'zohar lashon tachazi. And this is the idea that we find that the Gemara always says tashma, come and listen, but the Zohar says tachazi, come and see. Come and see. Ki b'zohar hasod hu b'izgalya. Because when you're learning the Zohar, you could see. You can see that we're talking about deeper things. When you're learning the Gemara, right, you have to learn how to listen more deeply. There's listening with your ears, there's also listening with your eyes. Right? Sometimes you're sitting with a person and they're saying something to you, but their body language is saying something else. So what are they really saying? Right? What does the person really want? Umiyad sheposeach ha-zohar roeshu kulo sodas. You open the Zohar, tachazi, you can see right away, it's all secrets. Right? A lot of it you don't even understand what it's talking about. Lefichach nemar, tachazi, come and see. Aval ha-gemara. But when a person learns a sugya, lemara eine ha-odam heim dvarim pshutim, inyone masu matan, mekach u-memkar. You're deep into Baba Basra and you're trying to figure out what happens, you know, who inherits from who and what's the pecking order in terms of Yerusha and Shtaros, and you're trying to figure out all these things. Eide chasima karsi, eide mesira karsi, right? It's all gavaldik. But when you're learning it, tashmat, you got to listen more deeply. What's this all about? Vasod hu nelam besocho, and the secret of it's all hidden within it. Vitzar chavana lizbone and liros. It's not so easy to see. It's not so easy. Liros hasod hanelam besocho, and therefore tashma. What does shmiya really mean? Right? Shma Yisrael doesn't mean hear, O Israel. It means internalize. It means understand. So the Gemara says tashma. Listen more carefully. Try to understand what's really being conveyed here. And again, this is what we find that the Zohar reminds us, be very careful that the pshat of the Torah is just the garments of the Torah. Just like this is not me, my body is not me, my neshama is me, even though my body seems so much more real at times, but it's not who I am, it's just a garment to my soul. V'tipshin da'alma lo mistakli ele b'levusha v'lo yasir. Foolish people only look at the garment and nothing more. V'chakimen, but those who are wise, mistakli tochos hahu levusha. They look beneath the garment. They look beneath the clothing. V'nishmas d'oraisa. They find the soul of the Torah. Shehu ha'ikar. V'ha'omer, and here's the quote. This is mamish the quote from the Zohar we just saw in the Shomer Amunim. V'ha'omer shepashtios ha'torah zos hu gufei Torah v'lo yosar. And if I read a story in the Torah and I say, this is what it is and nothing more, Ein lo chelek v'olam haba. That's what the Zohar says. Tipach ruche. Let his bones be destroyed. Let his spirit be crushed. Let him no longer exist, because he's missing the main thing. So now, ready for this part? Says the Divrei Yisrael. Let's go back to our pasuk in Mishpatim. Al kol davar pesha, for every item of liability, whether an ox, a donkey, a sheep, or a garment. And he says, this is it. And there's some machlokas. There's some debate over who it belongs to, what's going on here, and they come to the court and they take a shvua, and someone is being accused of stealing, he's going to pay a double penalty, v'chulu v'chulu, and all of these psukim, all the parshas mishpatim, al kol davar pesha al shura chamor v'chulu. Turn to the top of the next side. Look what he says here. Perish. You're missing just three words. Perish. Al shura al chamor. Whether it's what? Whether it's a shur, it's an ox, or it's a donkey. Hainu kigon shitas shur shenagach. Whether you're learning the sugya of shor shenaga chasapara, or you're learning the sugya of chamor, hamachlif para bechamor, al se, al salma, whether you're learning hakones tzon, or whether you're learning about a garment, shnayim ochs and betalis, al kol aveda, if you're learning the sugya of meshav aveda, returning lost objects, for all of these things, how does it introduce it? Al kol davar pesha. So here's how he reads it. Perish. Ha pesha ha ola al kol davar pesha hu. Pesha means, we said, liability, but it means what? What's a pesha and avera? Al kol davar pesha. You know what the biggest avera you could do? Al kol davar pesha. You know what you could do to undermine the Torah in such a horrific way? Al kol davar pesha. One of the most terrible things you could do. One of the most egregious things you could do in studying the Torah. Ha-pesha ha-ola al-kol devar pesha. The biggest avera of all, to take Hashem out of the whole picture, is if you do what? Al-shor, whether you're learning the sugi of shor, al-chamor, al-seh, al-salma, al-kol aveda, whatever you're learning, when you're learning Hainu Pashtios HaTorah, whatever sugi you're learning, Asher Yomar Ki Hu Zeh. If you say, this is what it is. What even? What more is there? This Al Kol Davar Pesha Asher Yomar Ki Hu Zeh. This is what it is. What do you mean? This is the story of Lavan and Yaakov fighting over sheep. And the Arizal is sitting in the corner crying. Because the Arizal in the Eitz Chaim says, what are you talking about? This is mamash, the secrets of creation. You really think Hashem had nothing better to write? You think Hashem had nothing better to write? Are you like the wicked Menashe who was poking fun at the Torah? Why does the Torah write about Timna Haisa, Alifa's married a girl named Timna? That pasuk, by the way, is the example that the Ramban uses in one of his famous drashos, where the Ramban says, there's no difference between Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad and Alifa's married a Pelegesh named Timna. Right? There's not like one pasuk is better than like, if I ask you, what's a more important pasuk? Right? Baruch, what's a more important pasuk? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad or Alifa's son took a Pelegesh, her name was Timna? Shema Yisrael, of course. Kaifer. No such thing. Not better. I'll call another Pesha to say Ki Uzeh. Because one is Kabbalah Somach HaShemayim, one's Shema Yisrael, and the other one's an irrelevant fact. An irrelevant fact. It's filled with secrets. To say Ki Hu Zeh, this is what it is, Sho'omer Al Pashtias HaTorah, Zehu Gufei HaTorah, V'lo Yoser, there's nothing more. Zosi HaPesha HaOla Al Kol Devar Pesha. That is one of the most terrible things you could do. Because you're saying, I don't really believe that Hashem wrote the Torah, and he had anything meaningful to convey. Such a powerful insight. Okay, so let's just finish the piece in Shomer Amunah. Bottom paragraph from page Mem Aleph. Uvuar im kain. So based on all of this, da sipur hakasim b'torah im heyos she'oso sipur hu amiti. The story itself is true. Of course, the pshat is true. Ve'ino yotzei midei pshuto. When we believe in the pshat, b'kol makom ein kavanas Hashem yizbarach lichtov divrei hayamim b'torasu hakadosha chas v'chalila. The Torah is not merely a historical account. Aval etzem hakavana lahalbish v'oso sipur, to dress up in garments, that story. That's the garments of Eza Sod Misodas Hamitzios. Derech Mashal. So I'll give you just an example. Parshas ve'eila hamalacha mesher malchu be'eretz Edom. Vade hamaisa shahaya kachaya. In Parshas Vayeshlach, you're right. At the end of Parshas Vayeshlach, yes. There were Edomite kings. They were real people. But says the Shomer Amunim, says Yehoyada, back to Shaltiel, Vade hamaisa shahaya kachaya. Yeah, it's true. Aval nichta b'torah lahalvish bosodos olam hatohu. But there's all sorts of Kabbalistic secrets of creation contained within. V'liyos she'etzam hakavana hi asodos. And because it's filled with secret. It's actually not a very good. If you study the end of Vayishlach carefully, it's actually not so. If I was writing it historically, it's actually not so well written. You know why? Because lechein b'hasipur v'pratim shonim. There's different details that are included or excluded throughout the story. What do you mean? Kigon shebiksasam nemar v'shem iro. By some of the eight Edomite kings, it says, and the name of his city was. It doesn't say that by all of them. Uviktsasim built these Eloploni Mibatsa. Sometimes it just says where he was from. It doesn't say Shem Iro, doesn't say the name of a city. Umeeritatemani. Uviktsasim lo niskar shame makomokla. Some of the kings it doesn't mention where they lived at all. Vichim biktsasim niskar shame aviam. By some of the kings it says their father's name, but not by all of them. Uvaachirim shumam levat. Sometimes it just says their name. Vichin ha'acharon, the last one, it mentions his wife, and it doesn't mention his wife, the wife of any of the other Edomite kings. These are all secrets. You know who the last king was? Who's the last king? Va'od shinuyim acherim. And all these other details, all these differences between the stories, that on the surface, lo malin v'lo moridim. What do I need to know? I don't need to know who the Edomite king is, and I don't need to know who his wife is. I don't need to know that he lived in a place called Pa'u. I don't need to know his wife's name was Mehetavel. I don't need to know any of this stuff. Why do I care? This is valuable real estate in the Chumash. And yet, in the writings of the Arizal, this is big stuff. All of the spotted and speckled sheep. The Arizal says the biggest secrets of creation, all hidden in some type of silly little story. So God forbid for us to think it's a silly little story. B'sof davar, the bottom line is, kol haTorah kula hakasav yagid b'tachtonim v'yirmoz b'alyonim. It's written in Lashon B'nai Adam. It's telling true pshat stories, but it's all hinting to higher things. Ki'adua lebekiyim b'chachma. Who is the last of the eight kings? A little Hanukkah connection. The last king, by each of the kings, by the first seven kings, it says what? Yeah, he died. He died, he died, he died, he died, he died. You get to the last king. It says the last king's name was Hadar. The last king's name was Hadar. It tells the name of a city. It tells the name of his wife. And it doesn't say that he died. So all the Svarim HaKadoshim are busy. Why, by the eighth king, why doesn't he die? Why is his name Hadar? And what does it have to do with eight? What does it have to do with eight being Lamal Minateva? What does it have to do with eight being infinity? Forever. What does it have to do with the fact that he doesn't die? What does it have to do with his name being Hadar, Mahajim and Mahajim? What does it have to do with it being Parsha Vayishlach, the eighth Parsha of the Torah? Right? What does it have to do with Chanukah? What does it have to do with the Pintaliyid never dies? And when after all the oil was made Tameh, you're still going to find one little jar of oil. And not only is it going to be enough to do the mitzvah, you know, Kapshuto, but it's going to be Mamish Behidr. It's going to last beyond anything you could possibly imagine. All the Svarim HaKadoshim are busy with this. The last king's name is Hadar. He doesn't die. He's the eighth king. Right? It's full of secrets. Mamish full of secrets. That Rizal says it's full of secrets. Okay, so says Yehoyada Tishaltiel, please, I'm begging you, don't look at the Torah. It's a ridiculous question. What do you mean there's no secrets in the Torah? How could there not be? We're talking about the infinite creator writing himself down. Torah Hashem Tamim. Hashem's Torah is perfect. It's complete. It has everything. And Torah is the blueprint of creation. That means if you find it in the world, and you look at things in the world, it is filled with such wisdom, right? But the Torah is just simple stories, simple Musar lessons that, again, anyone could have written. Can't say such a thing. Okay, so we should be Zocha as we come to the days of Chanukah, which again are days of Or HaGanus, of revealing deeper secrets. We should be Zocha to see the depth of our Holy Torah. Okay. Shreich. What do you got, Eli? Like you have a remnant for us. Let's hear.
No, just the